Well, finally, we've come to the end of this part of our series on Torah. What are Jehovah's life instructions for our halakha, our walk of faith? In this message, we will examine the nature of covetousness, why people covet, and the consequences here on earth and in heaven for covetous behavior. You know the person about whom I am speaking today. This is the man or woman who is never satisfied with what they have and always wants what other people have. What we may not realize, this person has an illness. Abba Father, I pray that our hearts and minds are open and receptive to your message to us today. Help us to recognize the beams in our own eyes before we look for the specks in others. Help us to recognize and know what covetousness is in us so that we may ask that it be removed by your grace, by your mercies, by your righteousness, and not our own. B'shem Yeshua Moshichenu, in your beloved name we pray. Amen. What do I mean then when I say a person who is never satisfied with what she or he has is ill? Jehovah created us to be in his spiritual likeness. As such, we were made to receive his blessings of sustenance. Everything we need, he provides. It was at the fall we received the infections of greed and envy. I'll deal with how these infections work at both the physical and the spiritual level shortly. But for now, it is sufficient to know greed and envy are infections and therefore constitute illness. To really understand why people covet others' possessions, personalities, lifestyles, or life partners, let's begin by referring to Jehovah's command as found in Exodus 20. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor, as we read in Exodus 20, verse 17. There are reasons why people are not content with their lot in life, with their possessions, with their relationships, and so on. Here are but a few of the many. Coveting stems from one's own lack of esteem and self-worth. Clearly, a person who is comfortable in his own skin has a greater chance of being content with what he has in life, more so than a person who is not. This reality extends as much to politicians and millionaires as it does to the poor. This is known as the self-verification theory, and this is how it works. Those who have a diminished self-esteem or a lowered self-worth look to others for their verification. Their belief or worldview focuses on being verified not by who they are in Jehovah's sight, but by the homage of others around them. A classic case in point is Pablo Escobar, the notorious drug cartel king centered in Colombia in the 1980s and early 90s. In his gangster career, Escobar was once known as the Robin Hood of Colombia. What he earned from his drug trade, he built hospitals, he built schools, he gave money to the elderly, he established orphanages and bought teachers and had them teach the children that he supported. But then he sought a level of respectability by running for Congress in Colombia. This was not, as many thought, to gain more control of the country. He had most of the politicians, including the president, the police and army leaders, either on his payroll or in his back pocket. There really weren't more people he could control. It wasn't until he desired to seek recognition for doing good that the imagined realism began to fall apart. Second, covetous behavior manifests itself through desire. Desire is the bane of our spiritual life. Listen to what Rav Shaul has to say about desires of the flesh, as we read in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5. For the old nature wants what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit wants what is contrary to the old nature. These oppose each other, so that you will find yourselves unable to carry out your good intentions, as we read in verse 17. Our old nature, that part of us which is firmly anchored in the world of flesh, opposes the work of Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God, every time. Once we become believers, many of us think the battle is over. Our old natures are dead, and our new natures in the Spirit are alive. Unfortunately, that is a naive and foolish perspective. As Rav Shaul has shared with us, the transformation process takes a lifetime to complete, even though there may be immediate changes in aspects of our lives. In fact, not only is the battle not over, it has just begun. Even Rav Shaul recognized this truism when he wrote towards the end of his life, as recorded in Romans 7, I don't understand my own behavior. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. If this is what Rav Shaul experienced, how much greater is the struggle today for those of us living in this age in which the temptations to grasp far more has never been so great.
Son of man, can these dry bones live?
Prophesying to these dry bones,
live again, live again.
Those who are sleeping, those in the grave,
live again, live again.
Those who are sleeping, those in the grave,
live again.
Zion, salvation for all Israel. The dust of the earth, raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army of worshippers, raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army from the dust of the earth, raise up an army, raise up an army, raise up an army. Again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow, breathe life again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow, breathe life again to these dry bones, breath of God from the four winds blow, breathe life again.
Third, coveting inevitably seeks to have what ought not to be had. If coveting was all about possession, then once the object which was coveted is possessed, then the desire will disappear, right? However, covetous behavior really has nothing to do what is externally lacking, but rather what is internally lacking. Thus, desire can never be satisfied. Habakkuk said it well in his second chapter, verse 5. The arrogant will not live at peace, but keeps expanding his desires like Sheol, like death. He can never be satisfied. The greater is our internal discontent, the stronger will be our desires to satisfy our external desires. Coveting, by definition, seeks to have what is forbidden, either by Torah or by man's laws to obtain. For example, desiring to have something which belongs to another is a violation of Torah, even when no action is taken. Why? This principle is clearly established through Adonai Yeshua's remarks in Matthew 5:22, in reference to holding anger against another, even though it is not acted upon, and in Matthew 5:28, with reference to lusting after another, even without taking action. There are many who believe covetous behavior is entirely conscious. That is, there is a conscious decision to want what others have. However, I contend the desire stems from subconscious needs and goals. In spiritual terms, the desires of our hearts. As I mentioned earlier, when we are not content with our lives, our positions in life, or we are unhappy in our own skins, we will seek the physical manifestations which will make us feel better. But of course, they never do. How then do we rid ourselves of the covetous desires of our hearts? First, we need to realize and accept covetousness is idolatry. Rav Shaul makes this very clear in Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death the earthly parts of your nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is a form of idolatry. When we engage in covetous desires, we turn away from Jehovah, reject his love, and in effect his grace in our lives. Take, for example, family relationships. Before I came to know Adonai Yeshua, Jehovah, I had a very good relationship with my cousins. However, that all changed when my grandmother died. She had promised me certain pieces of furniture, which I associated with the many times I visited her when I was a child. Shortly after her death, I learned my cousins had taken all the furniture and divided it amongst themselves, leaving nothing for my sister or me. My anger grew, and I was filled with discontent. The enemy was clearly working on and in me. I began to dream of schemes to have what I believed was rightly mine, especially as they were many, many times more wealthy than were either my sister or I. Over time, this covetous behavior burned a hole in my soul, and I felt like the outsider within my own family. The anger and the envy had its toll on me, physically as well as spiritually. Physically, every time I thought of what they had stolen from me and how I wanted it back, I felt a knot in my stomach. Eventually, the pain was so great, I saw the doctor, who after some testing found I had an ulcer. Spiritually, do you see how this situation might draw me further away from Jehovah, if that was possible at that time in my life? It's only when I forgave them for what they had done, and I asked Jehovah for forgiveness for my wrong desires, did I begin to feel more content. Now let's examine how we find ourselves, quite innocently it seems, caught in the snare of covetous behavior and thus idolatry. The example which comes to mind readily is that of coveting escape from issues of reality. Internet. Jehovah wants us to spend time with him in prayer, verbally and silently, and in reading his word. Since many of us work during the day, it is often difficult to find this time. Before work, we are rushing to get everything ready. After work, we are usually tired, and all we want to do is relax and escape. Here is where social media becomes our trap. There is an incredible allure to social media: Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, etc. And online games, which provide ample avenues from escape from what we do not want to face. Unfortunately, Jehovah, our Almighty God, is often not among these. When a good deal of our time is spent with these means of escape and entertainment, they become our gods. We live with them, and we can't wait until we get some free time to engage these areas of our brains and our hearts, which are yearning for escape, but which in truth robs Jehovah of his time with us. However, we can readily justify this time by claiming we are spreading the gospel by uploading inspirational quotes and passages from Scripture. Then the activity is justified, isn't it? Well, beloved, it really is not. When the focus is on the media, and especially the feedback we receive from others who like our uploads and those who have a comment to make, supportive or challenging, then the focus becomes us and not Jehovah. Remember what Adonai Yeshua said to those who claimed others were using his name to create miracles and heal the sick, as recorded in Matthew 7. On that day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we expel demons in your name? Didn't we perform many miracles in your name?" Then I will tell them to their faces, "I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness." If you think this is a bit harsh, remember the degree of idolatry is not the issue. Whether we use his word to garner attention to us, or we go about using his name to create spectacles around us, the result is still the same. We are making ourselves the object of our worship. And oh, how many of us are caught in that trap. But there is a way out of it. I urge you, beloved, when you find yourself in front of your computer or tablet screen about to post something on social media, take a moment and give thanks to Jehovah, who has given us a gift to share him with others. Then share what you are led to share and include an explanation of gratitude for the gift he has given. In this way, he receives the glory and not us. He receives the gratitude and adulation, not us. But don't spend every moment doing this. Then you lie about your gratitude. Finally, when you feel yourself drawn towards something you cannot possess, or someone with whom you cannot have an intimate relationship, you must catch yourself, if it isn't too late, and ask Jehovah to cover you in the blood of Adonai Yeshua, to wash away the covetousness infecting our minds and our hearts. Abba B'Shamayim, thank you so much for allowing us to come under your protection. On behalf of all of us, I ask for your guidance and discernment when we are faced with a covetous moment. I pray you guard us from taking the wrong step forward into idolatrous behavior, simply because we want something we should not desire, let alone have. And on behalf of all of us, I pray in your beloved name. Amen.
Oh. again.